Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4, KIDS.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Let me draw an analogy. You're at a wedding. You get in there Friday night. The wedding is Saturday night. Your flight out is Sunday
afternoon,
like 2. But you know at the hotel where everybody's staying, one of the aunts or uncles is doing brunch. And you work through it, and you know, like, you could do fruit, and the bagels look fine.
You could do pineapples and bagels, and it would be great.
And there's fresh fruit, and there's a little bit of lox, but you're like, nah, I'm going to eat the best stuff when I'm the hungriest.
Man, did I eat good.
And you start sipping a little bit of coffee.
And you're like, I might need some fiber.
This is where Ryan Poles is now.
Okay.
They just brought out a new thing, baby. And like, when they dumped it, like, four of the pieces were stuck together lengthwise.
Just grab one of those
right?
bad boys.
Right? I'm only taking one. Oh, no, the rest
now
came
I've
up.
Got five.
Now, this has been the best Bears talk possible.
I agree.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on 670 The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we have things to talk about on the Bernstein and Holmes show today. We're busy. There's baseball going on. There is the championship to end all championships of the World Baseball Classic.
I'm really sad to like see it end, honestly. I'm excited for the championship game, but I'm sad to see it end because it's just been awesome.
Clinton Yates is going to talk about that and more at 11. Sahadev Sharma will get Cubs-specific with us at 12:25. Don't forget High Noon coming your way at 11:40. Ricky O'Donnell of SBN will join us at 1 o'clock to talk about the Bulls.
A.K.A. Ricky Charisma.
And there's going to be more surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is our number. Ray Diaz is our EP. Adam Studzinski, the Trash Panda, is cutting and scratching on the wheels of steel with Brandon Fryer in the back and Connor O'Donnell helping out with the video stuff.
Yeah, look at the boys. They're having a good time, enjoying themselves. There's a lot for us to discuss today, including the Bull.
Yeah, weird game. Sloppy.
Very.
Very strange way to win. It's not really a recipe for victory.
No. But you won.
It's a nice win.
Yeah.
It's a nice win, and I'm very surprised. I loved the way that court looked.
How do you mean?
Old school. That's like when you used to tune in a Sixers game from the old wherever with Spectrum. Palestra?
It was the Spectrum. Palestra.
Yeah.
The 80s, right?
Yeah, it was the Spectrum, and it was kind of like that bad light. It wasn't quite like the Milwaukee Bucks Mecca lighting where everything was yellow, but that was nice and old school. And then that just a very strange basketball game, and the Bulls, they were tough. That was kind of a street fight that they ended up winning.
They're now 8-4 with Patrick Beverley as their point guard. But
should be 10-2.
Yeah, but he's not the one that saved them last night. It was weird. They won a game where Patrick and Zach had off nights, and they were still able to win. So it worked out. It was fun. I usually, my whole thing is Bulls get a lead and bet the other team. actually waited this one out, Dan. And then when it was a double OT, I went Bulls. Bulls plus 154.
Hey, look at you.
On the money line. And I was like, yeah! So shout out to FanDuel.
Hey, man, look, when Lawrence the Greek is changing his ways and getting new ideas of how to bet the Bulls, that's nice. And they did some pretty interesting things where, again, they didn't shoot a lot of threes, but they tried their damnedest to make Embiid a little bit uncomfortable with different matchups and throwing some different bodies at him and some different looks. I do think that there's an adjustment to be made for Philadelphia that we'll talk about. Where,
oh my God, Doc was hot in the postgame. He's so mad at his team for not executing plays. Someone had asked him, like, what plays worked? He's like, the ones we drew up in timeouts, those ones worked. The stuff that they were doing on the floor, though, not so much. So that's exciting. Like, it's exciting when I saw Sarah Spain tweet this out last night, and I think I retweeted it. Like, I shouldn't be this stressed out about a team that's
bad.
That's, yeah, it's still, what, three games under 500. They're the ninth seed now, though, right? They're working their way up with 11 games left to play, Dan. Working their way up. Climbing like Spider-Man. That's them. Your Chicago Bulls!
I don't think it's like Spider-Man. I think it's more climbing like Adam West Batman.
Oh, have you ever seen
where they're actually standing on the side of the building and slowly walking up?
All of those are great because it's great for the cameos. There's two in particular that I really love. There's the one where they run into Sammy Davis.
Hey, babe.
See if you can find this, Ray. The one where they talk with Sammy Davis Jr. on the wall.
Where he pops out of the
yeah,
window.
Yeah. And then the other one is that they run into Green Hornet and Kato, a.k.a. Bruce Lee. And Batman's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I've been following a criminal into this city. And Kato's there. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, they really, like, the more I watch old Batman, the more I'm like, man, they were breaking the fourth wall like nobody's business. They understood not to take it seriously. The Batman...
The casting of the villains in and of itself.
Batman Joker surfing contest. Incredible. Like, just Cesar Romero. That's why he's my number two Joker.
If you ever try to explain the artistic concept of campiness, I'm trying to make a Batman. The idea of what camp means, you know, there's a John Waters level of it, but that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, the tone of the 60s Batman episodes, the little bit of arty self-awareness.
And subversiveness.
And a little bit of subversiveness.
Because, I mean,
I am Batman!
Not that
no,
Batman!
That's the opposite. That's
taking yourself too seriously.
That's the full of self-seriousness. But yeah,
that's the Kevin Conroy one.
That's how the Bulls are climbing. They're climbing like that, where we're not taking it too seriously. We know what they are and what they aren't, and we're trying to have fun with it. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. There's a great episode where Eartha Kitt as Catwoman. And she's in a room of white women, and she's like, I'm going to take all of your hair. Like, just threatened him. Like, and they're like, please don't take our hair, Catwoman. And she laughs and does the Eartha Kitt thing.
There's three Catwomen, right? It's Lee Merriweather.
Eartha Kitt. And,
And, damn it. Someone will text it in.
Yes. Someone who's more of a geek than I am will text it in.
I should know this.
You Lee should. Merriweather, I should know, Eartha actually. Kitt. But
damn it. This is going to make me crazy. And I know people are racing to text it in right now. Or maybe someone will twitch it in into the chat there. Want to hear crazy Bull stats?
Sure.
I love this. Jeff Farrer does this. He's a friend of the show and a big friend of the Organizations Win Championships podcast, which as soon as this idiot gets back from Florida, we can get back to recording. He said Vooch had another uber-efficient game.
Not Jeff.
I mean Jason. It's like, okay. Come home already. I've been there forever. He said, I love what they're doing to get him more efficient touches in the post. The Bulls are now 3-1.
Julie Newmar.
Thank you.
Tu Wong Fu.
Love Julie Newmar, right? The Bulls are now 3-1 in games Vooch scores 20 and takes 12 or fewer shots. After last night, here are the players with the most games with 20 points, 10 rebounds, 60% field goal shooting, and at least 1 3 made. So that shows a really efficient inside-outside game this year. Jokic has 11, Vooch has 9, Giannis has 8, and Embiid has 7.
Wow.
That's wild. Now, most of these games in NBA history, three, over the course of a career, Charles Barkley did it 101 times.
And then washed his jersey in the shower.
Jokic, 83. Karl Anthony Towns, 71.
Okay.
Giannis, 62. Bird, 45. LeBron, 45, Durant, 44, Embiid, 43, Dirk Nowitzki, 40, and tied for 10th with 39 are Kevin Love and Vooch.
How about that?
And in Bulls history, how many times those numbers, 20, 10, at least 1-3, and 60% field goal shooting? Vooch, 16, Jordan, 11, Pippen, 9, Gasol, 8, Nocioni, 5.
It's still weird that Pau Gasol was a Bull.
And a good one.
Yes, very good one.
But that's to look at those numbers through that lens to show the people with which Vooch is hanging out statistically. That he may not still even with that may not be worth re-signing for these next 2-3 years of where he is. But that's it's pretty valuable stuff.
If you end up not re-signing him though, that's a bad look.
I know, but you don't re-sign him to avoid a bad look.
It raises other questions about your management style.
But those are fair questions.
If you thought that he was just going to come back because he likes it here, what's wrong with you? What are you pointing at?
Got a special guest on the line here.
Yo!
Man. West Side Mike, what's up?
Got good news for both of y'all. Remember I told y'all, I premiered on HBO. I got a second scene coming up. I meant the 6-7 to score the best radio station in Chicago. I need y'all for July 1st. You care, remember I said, get the suit ready because they're coming to Chicago while I'm going to be at playing music. I want you, Home, Layla, Terry, I want y'all to be at this party. But I ain't going to give you my address.
Okay.
I got to inbox you everything because y'all was the best. They said, how you going to get Holmes at your backyard party? I said, he went to Alabama. I'm sure he drink moonshine. So he'll be there. Trust me.
You know how many backyard parties I go to? I go to a lot. You don't have to threaten me with a good time. Just send me the address and I'm there.
Okay. But I tried to inbox y'all on Twitter. Because I tried to get y'all on the air when I was at HBO. It was hard to get in. They say, why did not answer the phone? I say, they big time now.
No, hey, Mike, here. We're going to put you on hold. Ray Diaz will pick up and we'll make sure we exchange information, all right?
You was looking smooth, okay. Too, Mike.
Yeah, but he has a fur coat on.
He looked like one of the Isley brothers. He did.
I know.
He looked like Ron Isley.
I didn't think about that. The lost Isley brother. Yeah.
So, yeah, if there's a backyard party and Mike's going to spin, I'm down. I will definitely be there. July 1st. And, yeah, if you're watching Bomani's show on HBO, if you watch this week's episode, if you're like, I've always wondered what Mike looks like, he's on there. He's on the man in the street element of the show, looking like an Isley brother.
Yeah, but he's not like a man in the street. He's
the man.
The
right.
Man of the streets.
The man in these streets.
Right, yes.
Is probably how you would say it for Hitman. But yeah, he's out there, so you can check it out. It's fun. Like I'm very happy for Bomani too. Because he's
blowing
winning.
Up. Blowing up. Yeah.
Like you talk about using an opportunity to launch yourself. And you know, I think he may have told us, or maybe it's the interview I did with him. That show was meant for somebody else, and they canceled. Like they couldn't do it or didn't want to do it, and they were like, "Well, what if we got Bomani Jones to do it?" And he was like, "Okay."
He's like, on his terms, though. He's not doing anybody else's show but his.
Yeah, well, now in season two of it, you can see some of the impacts from the people that he's brought in. Comedian James Davis, who is absolutely hysterical, is one of the writers, and Adam McKay is producing it. So, I mean, you know, good for Bomani, and shout out to Hitman. Mike from the West Side, West Side Mike, if you ever wanted to know what he looked like this week's episode, you will see that man stunting on everybody.
While we're talking about parties, I want to let you know that we are going to be out and about for White Sox opening day. April 3rd, Bernstein and Holmes, Cork and Carey at the park. 33rd and Princeton, right up there at Armour Square Park. So you can come out and enjoy an ice-cold Miller Lite before the White Sox take on the Giants. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Chicago. Celebrate responsibly. So that's going to be fun.
That is going to be fun. And so is the continued conversation about your Chicago Bulls. Because we're going to discuss the win, and we're going to let you hear some of the X and O stuff that happened in the game last night that allowed the Bulls to win the game. It's been a minute, but you'll hear from Billy Donovan on a couple of different subjects, and we'll try to figure out exactly what any of this stuff means. Stick around. It's Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, powerhouse pairing, 10 to 2 every day.
On 670 The Score.
Harden trying to work past Williams. Jones with the block. Two on the shot clock. Harris gets it off. In and out. Tipped into the air.
Jones. What a defensive play by Derrick Jones Jr.
And White gets fouled with 6 seconds left. Derrick Jones Jr. off the bench with the block in the final seconds of the possession.
And he came out there with no flex on, 454 on. He's been sitting on the bench almost the whole second half. And came, watch this big block. Comes over, no soup for you, no Philly cheesesteak, nothing.
They still use Flexol?
Maybe. Is it still a thing?
It was the same ingredients as Bengay. It was just, I think it was made popular by that old Phoenix trainer, remember Joe Prosky?
Yes.
He looked like a bridge troll. We used to take this Phoenix Suns media guide, and if you could do it like a flip book with their team photos when they used to have the paper media guide, and you could just watch Joe Prosky, and he was always on the end, and you could just watch him slowly age. It was really interesting. I don't even know if he's still around, but he was the dude that sort of popularized Flexol, and it's wintergreen oil. So you walk in those lockers, like, woo, man.
It's been a rough day. Yeah. Someone needed to loosen up.
Right. I mean, it's like old dudes always sit there sipping their coffee and they have somebody rubbing their knees with it. But Derek Jones Jr., he weighs about 20 pounds, but the guy can jump 50 inches in the air.
46. No soup for you, no Philly cheesesteak, nothing.
46-inch vertical on that man still, and he got after it. I thought it was interesting yesterday. Billy, because, you know, you have to figure out how in the world are you going to be able to defend against Joel Embiid. And Billy kind of broke down what his strategy was last night.
Obviously, with Javante coming back, I think those two guys had paired very well. I tried to in the first half. I wanted to see what it would look like, taking Vooch off a little bit earlier and letting Vooch play with the second unit and not have to match his minutes with Embiid. And then let Drum kind of come in and play and see what that looked like. And it was fine. But I thought Vooch and that group was playing pretty well in the third, especially later in the third. So Vooch went pretty deep. And then I just decided to start Javante and DJ together in that fourth. And then they were really trying to, I think, protect Embiid with the foul trouble. So they were moving him around. But what happened was we were able to kind of get DJ in a lot of pick and roll actions with him. And then he found ways to get into the pocket, some slashes to the rim, active block at the end of the game. So it was just, I felt, you know, with Reed being out there, they really don't post him very much. He's more of a roller. I thought we could switch a little bit more and maybe kind of use our length and the ability to switch some with those two guys, Javante and DJ. And, you know, Javante, I think I mentioned before the game, we weren't going to keep him too long minute-wise, but DJ, I think, was playing well. I kind of rode him for a while, and then he thought he got a little bit tired.
That's really interesting.
It's good coaching.
It's good coaching. I am of the mind when the other team's star player, and especially that star player, picks up number five.
Attack.
Go at him every time. Every single time, relentlessly, put in who or figure out who he's guarding primarily, and it doesn't have to be in a screen roll action. Hell, isolate him, and just have him put it on the floor against him, lean a shoulder into him, attack, attack, attack. And I know in the NBA that last foul on a star is going to take something obvious, but foul him out while you got the chance. Don't let it just be happenstance.
Yeah, I thought it was in the foul itself was kind of.
Yeah.
Doc's post game was really good because someone asked him about, hey, you know, why didn't you challenge? And he was like, because it was a foul. And like that was it. Like, we're not gonna waste a timeout on something that was clearly a foul. It was a foul. So you move on. And Embiid got his numbers. Like, he was great last night. Was it 37-15 for him? But I love, because we get on Billy. We get on Billy all the time for not coaching the game that's in front of him. He did that. He had a good strategy. Take Andre Drummond and say, hey, Dre, go lean on him for 6 minutes. That's all. It's all we need. Just lean on him and see what you can do. And then we know.
Just stay basket side.
That's all you got to do. And they threw different people at him. And the my guy, B-Ball Paul, came in there. And he's not a post-up player.
No, he's a big, strong man, though.
He is. I'm very happy for him. He's a good kid. And it still makes me mad, though, that you had two NBA players on a DePaul team that won 10 games.
You know what I think Doc was doing, too?
Still makes me mad.
You know what I think Doc was doing? I think that is a coach whose team has won 8 in a row, and he knows they've got work to do.
Yep.
And he gets that loss. He's like, I'm going to get into him.
Yep.
I'm going to make him feel this one.
Yeah, I'm going to get into him a little bit. Let them know they're not as great as they think they are, even though they're pretty great.
Right. Right. It's a good opportunity. And usually a lot of coaches will do that after a win. They'll do the I'm really mad thing after a win. But sometimes.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got the win, but we can't play like this. You know how that goes. But that seemed to me like, okay, this is a chance for me to get a little coachy on him.
How do you feel about the Bulls right now?
I think Wednesday, tomorrow, is going to tell us something, because I don't think Philly's going to miss those same threes. And that's a different game if they don't just happen to miss open shots. And the Bulls contested okay. I mentioned there was an adjustment that I think Philly can make. On many of the Bulls' closeouts, particularly to the corners, I think they overclosed. I think they
so you're out of control as you're trying to close out?
Yeah, I don't think they took advantage of it. I would rather see a close, especially in the corner, when you have the baseline to help you, when you got the guy kind of boxed in there, stop, use your verticality, use your length. You don't have to go flying out to the corner because you got a guy out of position there. And you get, whether it's a pump fake or whether it's weak side cut baseline dunks. Like I do think if the Bulls continue to close out that aggressively, there's a counter that could leave them vulnerable.
Okay.
I like them being there. I think there's too many risks of fouls and too many ways to get out of position. I also would love to know if Caruso's going to play tomorrow.
Well, that's very important. But we've seen this team over the last 3 weeks play better basketball overall. And we had a theory yesterday that it's because of DeMar. DeMar saved them again last night. You know, like this wasn't Zach's best performance. And Beverly shot, 2 for 10 or whatever it was from the floor?
Yeah, but Beverly set a tone defensively, and especially standing in front of, what is he, 290, whatever Embiid is, and taking a knee to the nuts.
He also gave up a point in a possession late in the game because he wouldn't calm down with how aggressively he was guarding the inbound on James Harden, which are things that come along with having Patrick Beverly on the team. I thought that Patrick Williams last night was up for the challenge.
Yeah, he just missed open shots. They weren't bad shots, and he was not hesitating. Zach missed good shots, too. Like, I don't mind that. Keep shooting those threes. Keep shooting. And whatever Stacey says about you'd rather have the contested two, I wouldn't. And I hope Billy's not telling him some of the stuff that's being said.
The contested two or the uncontested two?
It was a moment where Vooch had a guy on his back, and he's saying, give it to Vooch, and Kobe White is standing out there. I'm like, no.
No, if it's a breakaway and it's you're passing up a dunk or a layup, I mean, no, I don't want that. But if you have a clear mismatch in the post, fine.
Mouse in the house, free cheese.
Yeah.
Agreed. But all things being equal, take the three. And if you miss it, take it again. Take it next time. Because making it is good.
Bulls shot 21% from behind the arc, but they shot 33 threes. So that's about where you, like, maybe a little bit more, right, but it's about where you want them to be.
And at no point did I say, oh, bad shot.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There weren't a lot of bad shots from three.
The only bad shots I don't like are long twos.
Someone did rush one.
The ones that make,
who it was.
Well, there's, I mean, end of shot clock out, and they did have a lot of end of clock possessions, especially early.
There's a Derrick Jones Jr. three where I was like, yeah, you could have gotten a better shot.
So you asked me what I think of the Bulls. Let's ask Billy.
I don't know if I don't want to say we figured anything out, because I think anytime you feel like you figured something out, you lose an opportunity to grow, right? So, but I think the one thing we have done, at least of late, which has been something we've struggled with, is, whatever word, let go of the rope, frustration, disappointment, like runs and can't shut them off, and it just kind of like snowballs, and we just can't put the brakes on to stop it. Up 27 against Miami. It wasn't the prettiest 12 or 14 minutes from about the 10-minute mark in the third period all the way down till about, 8 minutes. But we kept grinding and playing. The Minnesota game, the same thing. Here tonight, the same thing. We just got to compete, and we got to play with an urgency and a toughness and a physicality. And when things don't go well, to me, it's the adversity and the challenge and the difficulty where you got to pull together as a group, not individually, as a group. And I like our huddles a lot more in terms of the communication. There were times, I think, in the past, sometimes we get a little bit quiet. I think guys are trying to internalize what they have to do. But we got to get to a place that we have to do it together. It's not everybody's got a job to do, but we got to do our jobs together. So I think I'm hopeful that maybe that's been help us grow, just to have that kind of mentality to fight and compete in those moments. And I think we've struggled in those moments, quite honestly. In the last couple moments, we've gotten the outcome we've wanted in terms of the result. But I do like, even if we would have lost, I really feel like we were battling and competing.
Shouldn't take until the end of March to have good huddles.
It really shouldn't. But that is an area where if you're looking to say, here's the type of difference that Patrick Beverley makes on a team, maybe they just needed someone to unlock, like someone to facilitate conversation. Maybe it wasn't Dragic or Io doesn't feel comfortable enough to be in that position to do that. Maybe he still feels like I'm the young guy on this team. I should probably just look and learn.
No, he's always been vocal. He's always been. I think DeMar has encouraged that ever since he first stepped on the floor as a rookie.
Yeah, but vocal on the floor as things are happening are a little bit different than being vocal in the locker room or vocal in the huddle when there's limited time. The coach is talking, your stars are talking, like finding your space. So maybe that's a place where we can give credit to Patrick Beverley for this. But you're right. It shouldn't take till March. Like, that's one of those things where there was a trade deadline. You could have addressed it then or earlier in the season if you didn't have the right parts to kind of make it work. But the making it work part is the part that's interesting to me. What does any of this mean? What does it mean to them? Do they look at this and say, all we needed, does that...
All you needed to do what? To try to get in the play-in? To solidify a spot in the play-in?
I think that they will look at it as, if we had just had a point guard, we wouldn't even be in the play-in. We'd be the sixth seed or higher. I don't know, but it felt like when they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, that's what AK was telling us. I want to give these guys 28 games to figure out what's going on. Now there's 11 left, and they can look at these last 12 that they've played and say, well, we've reached, this is our potential. So how does AK view the Bulls reaching their potential? And does that change the way that he's going to attack the offseason, who he brings back, who's a part of this, how it can all work, how do you go about making Vooch happy? Is there enough evidence that he can present it and say, no, my first thought was right. We're a team that can contend in the Eastern Conference. That's not my opinion. I'm just wondering if they're thinking that if Zach's healthy, because now we're seeing, I think Zach has an argument for player of the month in March. I think he has a legit argument for it. But if they look at it and say, look, Zach's healthy, DeMar's figured out how he can be better, we've got a point guard.
I still don't like how it all fits together ultimately. I really don't.
I don't either, but I'm trying to figure out what they believe.
Well, how will we ever know? He doesn't talk. And when he does talk, he's got a plane to catch.
He does have a plane to catch.
Let's talk about the news we got regarding, and the news we didn't get specifically regarding Lonzo Ball when we come back next. Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I remember being a, I don't know if it was in high school or college, and Bernard King blew out his ACL, and, you know, no one ever had come back from that, you know, so you're just hopeful that maybe he can be the first. You know, I know he's going to work really hard. I know that they felt like the surgery went well, but I do agree with you. You know, there's nothing that's out there that says that, hey, here's how guys have come back and been able to respond to this. But I do know that Lonzo, you know, just based on all the information he was able to gather from different sets of doctors, making the decision that he felt like this was the best chance to be able to get him back on the court. And, you know, I think we all understand that that's going to be an uphill battle for him. But I know that he's going to do everything possible in his rehab to get himself back on the court.
Yeah, you want to be optimistic, but Soundgarden in the back doesn't help
especially not that song.
It fell on black days.
Yeah,
it doesn't help my schema sort of thinking of the various informational points in there. Like, yeah, well, you know, and if somebody said what the actual surgery is, I missed it because I've seen cartilage transplantation, but I have not seen which kind. It really matters whether it's articular cartilage or meniscal cartilage.
Why?
Because the replacement of the articular cartilage, which is what is on the end of the joint itself, that's sort of attached to the bone where, and I don't know which side, whether it's the femoral head or the tibial head, is different than the floating disc of cartilage that is the meniscus, which sits there in the synovial fluid and pads the knee. So that is much more experimental. Neither one has ever been done on an NBA player. Neither. But they've had a more experience with articular cartilage transplantation than they have meniscal cartilage.
Yeah, but I think that for you, that I think that you're fascinated with ortho and especially with knee injuries and surgeries. For the layman, they understand, like, when you mentioned Bernard King and his career ending because of knee injuries,
Gale Sayers.
That's where we're at. Like that's how at least we should be looking at this. Is what did the ortho tell you? This is a Hail Mary.
Yep. This is a salvage operation.
This is a quality of life issue,
yes,
more than a basketball.
Yes. Just if Lonzo Ball, if this surgery helps him at his young age walk and move relatively pain-free, that's a success. And anything beyond that, any even getting back to trying to return to the NBA's gravy.
I look at it as it should be out there as the carrot for him.
No question.
That's going to push him through what is going to be a grueling rehabilitation time for him. So I'm okay with them kind of, but even in listening to Billy Studs, do you have that cut, that Billy cut you came in? Can we play it without the Soundgarden, or was it connected to it? Listen to the way that Billy is talking about this.
I remember being I don't know if it was in high school or college, and Bernard King blew out his ACL, and, you know, no one ever had come back from that, you know, so you're just hopeful that maybe he can be the first. You know, I know he's going to work really hard. I know that they felt like the surgery went well, but I do agree with you. You know, there's nothing that's out there that says that, hey, here's how guys have come back and been able to respond to this. But I do know that Lonzo, you know, just based on all the information he was able to gather from different sets of doctors, making a decision that he felt like this was the best chance to be able to get him back on the court. And, you know, I think we all understand that that's going to be an uphill battle for him. But I know that he's going to do everything possible in his rehab to get himself back on the court.
You're not hearing a guy that's cheerleading there. You're not hearing, oh, everything's going to be fine. The surgery went great. Everything is everything. We can't wait to get Lonzo back. You're listening to a coach who's looking at next year's training camp as if Lonzo isn't there.
And it is concerned about the welfare of a player he cares about. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but you're not hearing a, man, you know, this is, they found it. They figured it out. And you're hearing very real talk from Billy Donovan about the road ahead for Lonzo Ball. And you're hearing him care about him as a human being, which is really important. But I feel like you're getting a really honest assessment of where this is, that there isn't any precedent for it. So how can anyone sit here and believe that this surgery is going to allow for Lonzo to come back and be a player, especially a player that they were expecting when they signed him? Now it's just about quality of life. Make it so that, and the one silver lining is what you brought up, the fact that he's so young, that the hope is that his body is going to be able to repair itself to a point where, I don't even know if Lonzo has kids, but that he can run and play with his kids, that he can walk upstairs comfortably, like all of that stuff.
Well, other people in other walks of life, no pun intended, deal with this. And for any of us who have been told at some point we may need another procedure, you always want to wait. An orthopedist will all, even if you are a 72-year-old man and golf has eroded your hip and you need a new hip, waiting means the next version is almost always better.
Right.
The next version is almost always lighter and more flexible. And there's some material that was used in an army helicopter that is now,
or a space shuttle.
Sure. Like this, that's how it works. The technology, you don't want to have the old hip. This isn't like a TV. This is something in your body.
No, it is like a TV. You don't want the old TV.
But a TV, you just take off the wall. You don't have to cut yourself open to remove a television.
You want the new TV.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But when you can swap out a TV. You call WEX, you get a TV. So when you make the decision to put something in your body, you want it. You don't want to be on the bleeding edge of something experimental, and you don't want to get the old model right before the new one came out. So wait, and deal with the pain and read the research journals and have your doctor advise you and always know who's doing what. And sometimes, you know, it may be, truth be told, that Lonzo's surgery ends up helping
millions
random people.
Yes.
Like somebody in his condition, with his youth and with his strength and with the resources at his disposal, that his experience, there will be people watching this all over the orthopedic community to see how he responds.
It's kind of like a test case, and you'll get to look at the results of it and see what happened. How do we make this better? And how is the patient? Well, what's the quality of life for the patient afterwards? What's recovery like? What mistakes did we make in recovery? What things did we get right in recovery?
Look, I'm going to need a knee at some point.
You are?
Yeah, I've been told that.
Ah.
No, I've been told it. I had a really, really bad injury. And after my injury 21 years ago, I lost a ton of weight because he said that's going to help you. And it's been imaged, and it's not great.
I mean, but everyone's knees are.
And I have good days and bad days.
It's like pitcher shoulders.
And I have to remember when I get on and off, when an elevator starts, that I have to make sure my knee's unlocked. Because otherwise I can get a bone-on-bone hit that'll have me quivering for another 40 minutes or so after. That is no joke and no fun. But you know, I'm not acutely aware of it all the time or always looking at medical journals to see. But there will be a time when that comes for me, as it does for so many people. You know, another one of our friends mentioned that he's in a similar situation, maybe needing a meniscal transplant of his own, and Anthony Heron talked about it with Matt Spiegel on the Score.
So what's the objective if you are to get this surgery? It's not to reinvigorate an athletic career.
Right, yeah. It'd be fun to dunk a basketball again at some point, but I've kind of gotten to a point where I've given up on that just because it doesn't feel like it'll be worth the risk of when I land, what that'll feel like. But, you know, maybe just day-to-day activities will feel less uncomfortable than they do now. And for me, it'll get me to a later point in life. Once I get this meniscal transplant, it'll get me to a later point in life before I actually need a full knee replacement. So that's what, to me, stands out as much as anything, just about the gravity of what this means for Lonzo Ball, the mortality of his career.
Man.
Because I've been as hopeful as I can be about this and the amount of time that he's taken off, the amount of time that he's missed in sort of preparing for this moment, that hopefully just the rest, the recuperation, whatever minor procedures they do would allow him to come back and still play the game, probably with some degree of discomfort, but to go back to playing the game at a high level. And this seems to me, just from my own personal knowledge of what awaits me with my knee, with my meniscal transplant, for me, it's going to be months of non-weight bearing and then months of recovery before the second procedure that actually involves the meniscal transplant. And that's even going to be, it'll still be a question mark of if it even takes. You know, it's almost like having a, you know, like a bone marrow transplant where you have to determine whether
it's
or not
become a match.
This cadaver cartilage Oof. Will actually take and will it match with you?
They're going to take his cartilage from somewhere else in his body. Mm. That's the way that they're going to do it and put that in the knee. But what you're speaking to is the desperation and the at wit's end place that he and his family must be as they figure out what to do.
Well, that's really, if Spiegel has that information, that it's going to be an autograft procedure and not an allograft.
You were wondering about that
yesterday.
That's
much more likely articular cartilage. You can't make a meniscus, can you?
I don't know.
I'd need to ask a doctor about that.
You know, text them.
Yeah, I that sounds to me, if it is indeed an autograft of his own tissue, they're probably trying to grow new articular cartilage.
But listen to what Big Ant said about what that recovery is like. Months of no weight bearing. So, like, to me, to even think about this in the context of him playing basketball again,
not yet.
I mean,
maybe never.
Maybe never.
Some breaking news right here. The coaching market in college basketball is moving swiftly. We mentioned Mike Bray took the, was it
South Florida job in Tampa.
And then Rick Pitino has taken the St. John's job. So that left an opening at Iona, which has now been filled by Fairleigh Dickinson's Tobin Anderson.
I told you he was going immediately.
Yes. So he has parlayed that into the Iona job, the cradle of coaches. Iona's had some dudes there, man.
There's some scuttlebutt out there. Purdue, the more I think we can beat them. There's some scuttlebutt out there about the Texas job, too.
Oh, really?
Stuff to keep an eye on, perhaps locally. Just, I got nothing. Just hearing some things that make me uncomfortable.
All right. Clinton Yates is going to talk WBC and baseball with us next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.